Hello, and welcome back to the Botanical Creative. And I'm joined by Bonnie Marie.
Hey, how are you going?
Pretty good. And yourself?
I've been good.
good to be back.
Yes, we've been on a bit of a holiday strike. More holiday.
We haven't got anywhere.
But. No, I think it's just safe to say it was a bit of a break from the digital platform in general. Like, I don't know about you, but I've not really been active at all online for the last few weeks, just as a way to, I think, debrief and just relax a bit.
Sometimes it's good to just have that little bit of a break.
But yeah, definitely.
We have been brainstorming topics and all that kind of thing. So
yeah.
Ready to get back into it.
We've been busy. You know, you're not in the lockdown, but I am. But luckily still working and being able to get out there and be creative and have been doing some fun things recently and all that. Mm. So, yeah.
Yes, and I've heard that you've been doing some research for your wedding, which is a bit exciting.
Yeah, I thought I better get back into thinking about it because it's going to come around quick. But no,
you do have time, but it does come quick.
It does go quick. But no, I've been thinking about doing the floristry or having, I'm going to have someone do the main flowers, but I was thinking for the decoration.
Like the table pieces?
Oh, probably more just like the bouquets and things like that. But okay. I'm thinking more of doing the table centerpieces and things like that because it can be quite pricey. And
definitely.
You can buy your own flowers at wholesale and just create your own little centerpieces, which I've been trying to learn how bouquets are made anyway because the foundations are the same as if you were to put that into something that is going to be on the table centerpiece. So,
What are the basics kind of, I guess, behind that? I've never done floristry before.
Well, you've made bouquets before in terms of just putting a few things together, right?
Yeah, but nothing too, you know.
And what do you tend to do? Do you tend to just grab a whole bunch of flowers and throw them together and that's sort of your process?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I like that one and that one and that one, and there you go.
Well, what I used to do, I was guilty of the same thing. I'd just grab the flowers and then I'd try and make the flowers look good. And half the time, the flowers would flop or they wouldn't hold where you would want them to. And one of the biggest things that you learn very quickly when you start learning about floristry is the foliage is your framework. It's like the foundation to a house. The branches will eventually hold the flowers exactly in the position you're wanting and keeping the stems upright. So you really need foliage, and you start with your foliage. Yeah. And a trick is to start with usually three solid stems, like three really prominent branches, and you sort of cross them over so you're creating a little bit of a pyramid in your hand in terms of the way the stems are touching, or a triangle. And then you keep
kind of like your campfire.
Yeah. Crossover. Yeah. And then you keep adding your foliage stems until you sort of get a nice sort of global or a rounded effect with that same, that where all those stems are sort of going out in that campfire fashion or that whirl fashion. So that way you're getting a really solid, I guess you could say, framework.
Yeah. So it's just like the basis of it.
Yeah.
It's the structure of your bouquet.
Well, it's sort of broken down into, say, three main categories. So you've got your framework, and then you've got your fillers, and then you've got your delicates. So So in terms of foliage, that's really good for your bouquets. Obviously, eucalyptus is really good. Magnolia is another good one, the evergreen one. So the one with the sort of that green top and then the brown underside. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Oh, yeah.
But
adds a
really
bit of
good
colour.
Yeah. And you could use really anything, really. But any sort of foliage that sort of grabs your attention. But eucalyptus is probably the most popular in bouquets at the moment, especially if you're wanting to create an organic bouquet.
Something rustic, I guess.
Yeah, so organic is pretty much those rustic flower arrangements where you see where they're very loose. They're not a very tight dome, where, you know, going back a few years ago, that was the fashion for floristry and everything had to be symmetrical and perfectly round, where these more organic arrangements, which I think are a lot easier for people to achieve as well in some ways, don't have to be perfectly rounded or the same. And often they're flat on one side, especially if you're doing it for a wedding bouquet, because if you think about when the bride's holding the bouquet, she's going to have it up against her a lot. So they tend to make them with a flat side now so that nothing sticks into her chest or dress or whatever.
Yeah. And I guess it looks good for photos as well.
It does. But also the other thing, what a bride does a lot with her flowers, and you did it on your day, is you're always putting your flowers down, resting them. So having a flat side allows you to rest them without damaging them. So that was pretty interesting to learn all about that as well. But obviously for a table centerpiece, that doesn't matter. But if you're thinking of making your own bouquet, then that's an interesting thing to take away from it. So you start with your foundations or your framework, which is your greenery. And once I'd say you've got maybe a collection of about 10 stems or 10 to 15 stems with a really good structure, you start adding your fillers, which are not your hero flowers, but can be a mixture of maybe the baby eucalyptus gum leaves, and then with some more heavy flowers. And then you can either have them all in one color, or you can color block, and a lot of florists with the organic style will color block certain flowers together so it looks
what does color block kind of mean?
So say if you're designing it, so say you've got your bunch full of greenery, and say you pick up, for example, a rose, and these roses are orange, and you would probably clump all those orange roses to one side of that bouquet, and then you might have one or two on the other side, but you have one solid color on one side of it, and then your next flower, which might be in the same color toning or it might be slightly different, so it might be a cream, you'll have a big bunch of the cream on the other side and then a few of the cream near those orange roses. So it's sort of balancing out the weight of the bouquet, so to speak, in regards to color, but also not having one big clump of color right through. You sort of mixing it in so it looks a little bit like a mixed garden.
Maybe a bit more natural in a way.
In a way. It's hard to explain without seeing it, but if you think of a garden, obviously you're going to have one big color block of, say, those orange roses interspersed with some foliage, and then you might see some more orange further along, so it's a little bit more wild. Instead of it being something that's perfectly uniform and you've got a hedge of orange. So I guess it's drawing on those sort of wild aspects that you see in a garden, and you sort of trying to put that into a bouquet. So you sort of, mixing your colour around a little bit, but it's really hard.
Rearrange the foliage, your structural foliage, flowers when you put them in, how does that usually work?
You can, but once your bouquet starts becoming quite thick, it's hard to get those stems in. So you can always adjust them. There's no issue with that at all. You just twist and pull it out. But a technique, actually, if you're starting to get quite a lot of stems and you're finding it hard to get the flowers in, you twist them as you try and push them in, and they'll go in a lot easier. Once you get your foundation, your fillers, and then your delicates are like your hero flowers. So they might be really soft, gentle looking flowers, but they're going to finish the bouquet off, so you start adding them in, and then you'll probably find very quickly you're building something that looks quite finished, but it never hurts to keep on adding. So it's just interesting learning how to use different flowers and different colors and things like that, and I'm definitely thinking more those sagey greens with burnt oranges and maybe burgundies is what I'm thinking, maybe.
Yeah, that would look really nice.
But still thinking on that.
Have you got a preference for particular flowers?
No, not yet. But you know what? I won't say too much on the story I did recently, because it's going to air on telly soon. But I did visit a gerbera farm. And let me tell you, I never thought gerberas could come in so many different colours and forms. To the point I'm like, maybe I'll do that. It's not the flower you would often think of for a bouquet, but they really work really, really well. So that So yeah, with the floristry as well, the interesting thing is a lot of people make the mistake of putting their flowers into a fridge.
Yeah, because I have heard that some people do, or well, maybe it's a bit of a myth, cold storage.
Well, florists keep their flowers in fridges, but they're not kept at the same temperature as what our food fridges are.
Yeah. So they're, what would be the ideal temperature, I guess?
So a florist that I met recently was saying that they keep theirs at 8 degrees.
Okay.
Which is quite warm. And they were saying if you're making flowers for your day, you're better off keeping them in just a cool, dark spot than keeping them in the fridge, because the fridge will actually do more damage and make them wilt quicker than what it would if you left them in a cool, dark spot. And I did it with the bouquet I sent you a photo of, Al. I left them out and they wilted a little bit, but then once I got them into the right spot, they perked up. And then once I finally got them home to put them in some water, they've lasted really, really well. So I think...
So it does work.
Yeah, it worked really well. So it's the next step, I guess, in the journey is learning how to make these centerpieces, I guess, because it is a different type of style. Because unlike a bouquet where you've got all the stems to hold the structure and hold everything into place, often with these table settings, you might have a nice vase or a sort of bowl that you're going to put them in, and then you use what they nickname frogs, and you put them inside. And a frog essentially,
what is a frog?
I don't think it's a nickname. I think it's actually a proper name for a little, it looks like a chicken wire, and you put your flowers through, I guess you could say, the grid mesh, and it holds them. But you can just use chicken wire if you want, which is probably what I'm going to do. And you just scrunch it up into a ball and pop it into whatever you're going to sit it into. And then you feed your flowers through. And that wire almost acts like the framework of the foliage, holding everything into place once it sits in. So,
What about using... I've seen, I don't know what you call it. That is like a green foamy kind of...
Florist foam.
That.
I think it's still... used quite a lot, but I think there is more modern techniques coming through that people tend to favor, whether it be ease of use. But I have noticed, like, if you when you usually see like the florist arches, like for the weddings, there'll be a foam block in the top corner, and they build out of that because they hold water for quite a fair while. But I've found in my experience sometimes they just crumble a bit too easily, and then the stems end up falling out anyway, so I feel like you would have to do extra pinning work to keep everything pinned into place. So
I guess it just depends on your setup and I guess what your purpose is.
I think so too. But yeah, I probably will stick away from that sort of option, I think.
And are you thinking like gum leaves kind of vibe?
I don't know. There's so many options. Decision, but the hard thing is, which I was saying to you the other day, is I wanted to go into the florist that I've booked to do my wedding, to be able to view the flowers and understand what would be available during this time for next year, so that I could get my head around as to what I'd like. But
What would typically be out, or what would you imagine would be out at this time?
So peonies roses are all out now, which are those big flowers that I'm growing. So they'll be out in flower, so I might try and do some of those. Dahlias will be in season, roses.
And we know you love dahlias.
I love dahlias. what else? There's going to be a lot of things. But the things with the florist, they can get things a few months earlier than what you would in the garden. So like they'll have sunflowers, they'll have liliums, they'll have a whole bunch of stuff, celosias and things like that.
Because they obviously get it from, you know, suppliers who grow specific.
But I was thinking ranunculus would be cool too. And then I was thinking even having like hydrangeas would be nice. Not so much in the bouquets, but like just around, that'd be nice.
Can you get orangey coloured ones?
No, you can get red though.
Red, okay.
But red's not really in my theme.
What about like, is there like a greenish tingy coloured one? I know you can get like pale blues.
The paniculata varieties, which tend to come out more in autumn, can sometimes have that green hue, but usually the white ball or lace cap ones, when they're just starting to open, appear a bit green before they whiten up. So you could do something like that. I don't know. I might have to take to Pinterest a bit more and think of bouquet ideas. But what did you have? You had natives, didn't you, in your flower arrangement?
Because
you had some really beautiful proteas, those big.
Yeah, I had some beautiful. I had proteas. A few big proteas, and then a few small like roses, gum nuts, gum leaves.
What colours did you have? You had like pale pinks and burgundy.
Yeah, because my theme was the pastel pink and burgundy, because the bridesmaid dresses were a burgundy colour, so it's kind of just tying in with that.
Yeah, and they looked really good, your flowers, and that's why I went with the same florist.
Copycat.
No, I don't copy.
Yeah, they do really good flowers.
Yeah, and that's why I'm so tempted. Maybe I should get them to do a few extra things, but as everything is these days, especially if a wedding is attached to it, it's expensive, so...
It is. But it's also nice to be able to, I guess, you know, to a certain extent, do your own things as well.
Well, that's why, like, this year's not been...
And you learn stuff like you have.
Yeah, well, this year's not been successful in terms of trialing to grow my own things, because... I've been in lockdown for like 6 months. I haven't been able to go out and get like the equipment in regards to like the type of soil I needed to sow the seeds and the correct fertilizers and the right plants and all this type of stuff. So I haven't actually been able to go and get those things to be able to grow them for this time of year to test for next year. So,
but you said there's like flower markets and things like that. Is that somewhere?
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking. I'm thinking of maybe trying to get sort of a license for it, and that way I can go and just purchase my own flowers out of, you know, interest as well. It was something I always wanted to learn, and then see where it takes me. But at the same time, I'd prefer to grow them myself if I can, because I know how to grow a good flower. So unfortunately I might have to just really plan out my timing for next year and try and hope that I get it to a T. In worst case scenario, I'll just have to buy some stuff.
Well, I mean, you've got a little bit of time, but in terms of growing, time is what you need, isn't it?
Yeah, and the season's dragging on, so it's a lot wetter, and it's still quite cold at night, which is unusual for October. Usually it starts warming up a bit quicker.
So that would slow down like flowers and that kind of thing.
Slows down the growth, the flowering time, and with heavy amount of rain, it means flowers may already say they've opened, but they'll spoil quicker. So there's all these things. So just trying to think about what would probably best tolerate the new sort of climate conditions that we're seeming to be getting. So
But who knows, next October might be, you know, a bit warmer earlier, but who knows?
Be interesting to see, but yeah, so no, it's just been fun to learn about it, because I've always liked floristry. I wanted to do floristry before I did horticulture back when I was younger, but went with horticulture in the end, but I still would like to.
Well, it's never too late to learn.
No, and I think it's something that if you've got an eye for it, you've got the eye for it, so it'd be fun. But I need to post that photo of my bouquet that I made.
Yes, because it does look great.
And it's still looking really good. It hasn't changed at all. It looks really, really nice.
That's good. Yeah, because I guess the room temperature, like if it's too warm where it's sitting, would, you know.
Oh, yeah. But also, pretty quick. Like changing the water every single day is really important. Because as soon as that water gets a bit stale, then it obviously is detrimental to the bouquet. But also something, if you are making a bouquet, never let the foliage hit the water, because it will contaminate the water and it will make the stems die quicker. So you never have any foliage hit the water, so you always strip your leaves off the probably the first maybe 5 to 6 inches of the stem, and then just leave a little bit at the top. So always strip your stems down before.
Yeah, very important if you're doing your own bouquets or just putting flowers in a vase.
And you can recut the stems every sort of 3 days or so just to keep them fresh, and that means the stems will keep uptaking that water, fresh water.
Yeah.
Because as we all know, sometimes the stems can get a bit slimy, so trying to avoid that will prolong your flowers in your vase for longer. So,
Okay. Good tips. Yes, well, it's very exciting talking about your wedding.
I'm just, trying to get back into the swing of it, thinking about it.
Yeah, very exciting.
Yeah.
But thanks for sharing your flower arranging and floristry tips.
It was a journey.
That's been good. And thanks, everyone, for joining us on this episode.
Yeah, and we'll be back next week. We'll won't be running away anytime soon again, but it was good to... have a break from the internet for a few weeks. I think it's done us some good, so yeah,
bit of a refresh.
Yeah, but we're back and we're ready to go, so
ready to get creative. Alrighty, well, we'll catch you all next week.
See ya.
Bye.